Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yevamos Daf Nun Vav. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We start the second line from the top. The Gemara quotes the Mishnah, Echad Hama'ara ve'echad agoimer kona. Whether a person engages in a partial act of intimacy or a complete act of intimacy, there is acquisition. That's as far as a literal translation is concerned. We're dealing, of course, with the continued topic of a brother-in-law marrying his sister-in-law after his brother died, leaving no children, the act of Yibum. In order to concretize the Yibum relationship, so the act of intimacy is the instrument through which that is accomplished. And our Mishnah tells us that even if the act of intimacy is not a complete male organ insertion, it nevertheless kona, it is effective. Before we continue in the Gemara itself, let us glance at the side. We have a topic heading, which we entitle Bia Grua Biavama. An act of intimacy where the intention was not, we'll say, of a mitzvah orientation. For example, we saw expressions in the Mishnah, shogeg, mezid, oines, rotzon. Shogeg is where he doesn't think that it's even his yavam, he thinks it's his wife, and it turns out to be his sister-in-law. Or mezid, he has harlotress intentions, znus intentions, and not intentions of actual consummation of marriage. So that we term a bia grua, low-level act of intimacy with a yevama. So we are taught that it's kona, that acquisition takes place. The Gemara will be asking, what do you mean she is acquired? So we'll see a machlokis Rav and Shmuel. Rav says kona lakol means that the yevama, the sister-in-law, becomes the surviving brother's full-fledged wife. Shmuel, on the other hand, will say kona rak lidvorim ha'amurim b'parsha, and they are aleph. One is mirash benichse ochiv. That gives him the right. First of all, the dvorim ha'amurim b'parsha is that the Torah speaks about the yavam taking over the name of the brother, and we learn from the psukim yokum al shem ochiv, that would mean that he inherits him. And lefotrom in hayibum, that would mean that any of the other brothers, if there are surviving brothers or if there are any co-wives, they are now exempt. And even though the act of consummation was without pure mitzvah intent, but rather, as we said, it was shogeg or mezid, the other terms we saw in the Mishnah, it works to exempt any of the other co-widows from the mitzvah of Yibum. However, avol eino machila betruma, if it's a kohen that's now marrying the yevama, the brother, dealing with the brothers that were kohanim, this kind of lack of intention type intimacy will not entitle her to eat truma. We'll see more of that when it comes in, when we get into the Gemara. Of course, truma is the tithe that is given to kohanim, and only kohanim are allowed to eat from it. And when we say only kohanim, it means to the exclusion of non-kohanim. However, if someone is, let us say, the wife of a kohen, so she is entitled to eat of truma as well. We will see a structural note under the Mivneh heading. Roman numerals 1 and 2 appear. So they represent Shnei Lishonos, two versions. Masai Cholkim Rav Ushmuel. Under what circumstances do Rav and Shmuel actually argue with one another? Roman numeral number one is Shenofla Min Ha'irusin. That we're talking about a widow who had only reached the first stage of marriage with her husband. Of course, he dies leaving no children, but if they only entered Erusin, that means they never consummated their marriage in the first place. The second Lashon in the Gemara, which is almost halfway down the page, you'll notice a squiggle-underlined Ika the Amri expression, means there are those that say that Rav and Shmuel argue under different circumstances. That's Shenofla Min Hanisuin, that she became a Yevoma when she had actually consummated her first marriage. She'd been a full wife of the first husband. Now, we've mentioned this point many, many times in the past, so I certainly don't want to dwell on it again so as not to bore non-first-time listeners, but the Jewish institution of marriage, technically speaking, is accomplished in two stages. There's Erusin, sometimes referred to as Kiddushin, where a man offers a woman money as one of the means of establishing Erusin. At that point, she becomes forbidden to other men. She's considered married, but she's not to be to live in intimacy with her husband yet until Nisuin. And Nisuin is usually associated with chuppah, where the couple stand under a canopy, a marriage canopy. There are other definitions of what that might be, but for the sake of simplicity, that will suffice. Now we turn to the Gemara. The Gemara asks, "My kona," and Rashi defines that this question is being asked under the circumstances of what we call a bia grua. What is acquired with this low level type of intimacy that we described before? So, Rav Omar kona lakol, that even though it's a low level type of intention with regard to the act of intimacy between the Yavam and the Yavama, nevertheless she becomes his full fledged wife. Ushmuel Omar loy kona elo ledvorim hoamurim beparsha. The acquisition or the marriage accomplishes only the points mentioned in the Torah regarding a Yavam and Yavama, but not a full across the boards marriage. Again, we're dealing with this type of marriage which is consummated here with a bia grua. And what are the things that are mentioned in the parsha? Now, Aleph, Lirash benichse achiv, he is now entitled to inherit his brother's properties, ulefotra min hayibum, and to exempt any other co-wives from the mitzvah of yibum. Now, as we said before, this is the beginning of two lishonos, min hanisuim ledivrei hakol ochla. If she became a Yavama because she had already been fully married to the first husband, everyone will agree, meaning even Shmuel will agree, she's entitled to Ochla means she's entitled to partake of Truma. And I don't think we mentioned that a moment before, but we said, according to Shmuel, the bia grua entitles her to the things that are stated in the parsha, namely to inherit the Yavam. The brother now inherits his deceased brother and exemption from Yibum for other parties concerned. But she, if he's a Kohen, the woman will not be able to partake of Truma. The Rashi in Dibur Maschol Amurim Beparsha says these points. Beparsha's Yevamim Shikosav Ba Mikrozeh Yevamo Yavo Elel Didarshinon Lei. From the pasuk of Yevamo Yavo Elel, we understand Bein Bishogeg Bein Bemezid Bein Boinus Bein Baratzon. Those are all the Bia Gruah examples. However, as we said, she is not going to be entitled to eat from Truma. However, and now this is the point the Gemara just made, min ha-nisuin, if she becomes a widow after having had a nisuin level relationship with her first husband, though he died leaving no children, she, upon marriage to this brother through even the bia grua, ochla, she is entitled to eat from the truma, dohavis kocha mekor, she was eating as a married woman to her first husband. So she simply continues that which she was already doing. So that if you have a woman who's married to a kohen in a nisuin fashion, in other words, fully married, they having consummated their marriage, so now she simply continues with her second husband, the brother of the deceased husband, continues doing what she was doing beforehand. Ki pligi, the machloikis between Rav and Shmuel, where Rav says she is entitled to eat and Shmuel says she's not entitled to eat from the truma. This is min ha'irisin, when she becomes a widow after having only reached the first stage of marriage with her first husband, only the erusin stage. Rav Omar Oicheles. Rav says that even though with her first husband she wasn't eating of truma, with the yavam she will. The haravi rachmona bias shogeg kamezid, because the Torah treats the bias shogeg, this unintentional intimacy, as if it was with intention. Now the term mezid over here, I believe, means something with intention. Term mezid that we saw in the Mishnah is a reference to an act of intimacy with znus intentions. So I'm not sure that that's what the word mezid means over here. I think that mezid means something with intention of doing the mitzvah. The Torah simply says that even if it's unintentional, the act of intimacy between the yavam and yavama, it's as good as if it had full intention. And something that has an act of intimacy with a yavam and yavama with full intention certainly entitles her to eat truma. Ushmuel Omar, and Shmuel says, as far as that's concerned, ki ravi rachmona, when we say that the Torah includes shogeg, the unintentional, like intentional, l'ukme b'mokoyim baal, to establish the yavam in the position of the first husband. And as such, with the first husband, she was only at the erusin stage, and therefore was not eating truma yet. One does not eat truma until knisa l'chupa, until the nisuin takes place. So the Torah views the unintentional act of the yavam as being with intention. That's only to enable the yavam to be in the same position as the first husband. However, la lumi mi ba'alo, but to grant him greater strength, the power to enable her to eat from truma, that, no. Let's take a look at the Rashi. L'ukme b'mokim ba'al, shim hoisoi cheles b'chayov, toichal b'shvil zeh, if she was eating from truma while her husband was alive, namely she had been in a state of nisuin, so she'll continue eating now with the yavam, even though their bonding was a bia grua. Avala lumi mibal, but to make the yavam stronger than the husband, the b'chaya ba'lo iso cheles, when her husband was alive, she wasn't eating from truma. De'enu isho cheles b'truma, ashe tikonis l'chupa, a woman does not partake of truma until she enters the marriage canopy. Hai nami lo olim mine. This too, the bia grua yavam, also isn't going to be stronger than that. V'dafka b'bia below das kinyan. All of that which we've said till now is when we're dealing with exactly this, a bia grua, which would be an intimacy without acquisition intention. Acquisition meaning to create a husband-wife relationship. Avol b'bia gemura, but with an act of intimacy with intention to create a husband-wife bond, ishto gemura hi v'ocheles afilu l'shmuel. She would... A Yavama is a full-fledged wife, and even Shmuel will acknowledge that she will eat truma. We continue in the Gemara. The Ozda Shmuel Litamei. And Shmuel, in saying what he has just said, that the Yavam is not going to be stronger than the original husband, is consistent with what he has said elsewhere. The Omar of Nachman, Omar Shmuel. Kol Shehabal Machil, Yavam Machil. Any situation that the husband enabled his wife to partake of truma, so a yavam can do so. V'chol shein habal machil, if the husband was not enabling the wife to eat truma, we said the husband reached only the erusin stage. Yavam eino machil, a yavam. Now the ikur we have to add between the lines. And Rashi adds this: the yavam through biagrua is not machil. Meisvei, we raise a question. You'll see after the framed source that the problem is with Shmuel. So you have a Tanaic source. It says Bas Yisrael Pichis. Pichis means a fully sane and aware, cognizant individual, a normal, healthy person. A Bas Yisrael Pichis Shinis Arsa L'Kohen Pikeach, and she entered Erusin with her a husband, a Kohen, was also normal. However, unfortunately, he wasn't did not reach the koinsas to take her in. That would be the nisuin. He didn't reach nisuin until he first became a cheresh, a deaf mute. And in halacha, deaf mute is considered a person lacking full cognizance and awareness. People that are classified as lacking da'as are not capable of creating kinyonim, of clinching deals. So in this case, the first stage of their marriage took place in a state of health. However, before the chuppah, he lost it. He became a cheresh. Eino oicheles. She does not eat from truma. Meis v'nofla lefnei yavam cheresh, the husband that we said that had become a cheresh died after he did chuppah. And let us emphasize that before he died, he was in a, it was a situation where she was not allowed to eat from truma. Let's also add an important point that a intimacy with a cheresh is in the same category as the other examples of bia grua, bia shogeg znus, and oinus, situations where there's no kavona, there's no intention for acquisition, for concretizing deals. So we have a husband dying where she was not eating from truma. She fell to a yavam who happened to also be a cheresh, and it says oicheles, she eats from truma upon having intimacy with the brother-in-law cheresh. She eats from truma ubezu yafe koyach hayavam mikoyach habalin. We see in this strength greater of the yavam than that of the baal, the husband. Bishlam ala Rav Nicha, this fits well into the scheme of things as Rav sees it. Rav had no problem giving greater strength to a yavam than the original husband. We saw in the case of a husband where they reached erusin, so she was not eating of truma. Erusin does not entitle a woman to eat from truma. And yet, Rav said that the yavam that marries her with a bia grua, she is able to eat from truma. So this fits into the scheme of things as far as Rav is concerned. Yavam having greater strength than the Baal. Elo l'Shmuel kasha, but according to Shmuel, we have a difficulty. Here we have a situation with her original husband, she was not enabled to partake of truma. And now with the Yavam, who's a chere, she is able to. Omar loch Shmuel. So Shmuel responds, he says, Eima hachi, restate the source thusly. I hope everyone realized we're rereading the framed source chip from just a couple lines above. We're continuing now with a reread. This is the same as we saw above. If the Kohen Pikeach that did Erusin with her becomes a Cheresh before Knisa, before the Chuppah, she does not eat from Truma. However, if we switch the order of things, kines the achar kach nischaresh. First, there was chuppah; he was still normal. That was, he was still a pikeach. And then nisharesh. Ocheles, she eats from truma. The fact that afterwards he becomes cheresh, that doesn't stop her from eating truma. Meis v'noflu fnei yofam cheresh, that same husband, he died, and she falls to a brother-in-law that's a cheresh, ocheles. She eats from truma. She was eating from truma with her husband, so she's continuing on the same level with this, with the yavam. My bizu, where do we see an illustration here of yavam being greater than husband? And if anything, yavam is at the same level as husband, as original husband. And yet in the source, in the original source, it said that, we have a little arrow, by the way, you could see where we saw the line in the original source above, where it said, where do you see Yofa Koyach HaYavam? Yofa meaning greater, Yavam having greater power. Where do we see that? Answer, De'ilu Baal Cheresh Meikara Loyocheles. If a woman was marrying a Kohen that happened to be a Cheresh, and he was a Cheresh, their original marriage was while he was a Cheresh. So the husband started off as a cheresh. She wouldn't be able to eat from truma. Vilu yavam cheresh meikara. Here she does yibum with a person that's already a cheresh. He starts off as a cheresh, and ochla, she's able to eat. So that you see, a baal cheresh meikara does not enable her to eat. A yavam cheresh meikara entitles her to continue eating from truma. V'ika di amri, and another version. Min ha erusin, if she became a yavama from a state of erusin, divrei hakol lo ochla, even Rav will agree that she does not eat from truma. Daha lo ochla b'chaye baal, she wasn't eating truma with her original husband. And again, we emphasize that through the bia grua with the yavam, she is not going to eat from truma. After all, she wasn't eating from truma with her original husband. They had only reached erusin. Ki pligi, when does the machlokas Rav and Shmuel arise? Min hanisuin, where she became a yavama after having been a nesua to her first husband. Rav Omar Oicheles. Rav says that even though it's a bia grua, she will be able to eat from truma. Tohava ochla mekara, she was eating as a nesua to her first husband. She shouldn't lose out, so to speak, and she continues eating truma with the yavam, even though their bonding was a bia grua. Ushmuel Omar eino oicheles, she is not entitled to eat. Ki ravi rachmona bias shogeg kemezid, when we say that the Torah views the bias shogeg, the unintentional type bonding, as if it had intention, that's l'dvorim amurim b'parsha, that's as far as the points that the Torah recognizes in a yavama. For example, the yavam can inherit his brother, and other co-wives, co-widows are now exempt from yibum. Avol l'chol mili lo, but to say that the Torah recognizes bia grua to enable them to be considered husband and wife across the boards for everything, that no. The Gemara asks, V'omar Rav Nachmon Amar Shmuel, Kol Shehabal Ma'achil, Yavam Ma'achil. If the Baal entitled her to eat truma, the Yavam will entitle her to eat truma. So how can we say here that when she became a Yavama from Nisu and she was eating with her husband, how can Shmuel say that she doesn't eat for now? Shmuel himself, notice where we dashed underlined Shmuel's name, Shmuel himself said that if the Baal had entitled her to eat, the Yavam will also. So the Gemara answers, Ema, restatement of what Shmuel had said. Kol bia shabal machil ba, yava machil ba. Any type of intimacy that a husband was unable to feed his wife truma, so then the yavam can do so. So now, what type of intimacy was the baal? Did the baal do that enabled her to eat from truma? So it'll be a regular, full fledged, intentional bia with chuppah. Chuppah means they had, as Rashi says, bias chuppah. There was a marriage canopy, and afterwards they had intimacy. It was a straightforward, intentional type of intimacy. So, intimacies that with husband entitled her to eat from truma, similar intimacies with Yavam will entitle her deed for true. And what we mean is a intimacy with intent. But an intimacy where a husband would not have entitled his wife to eat from truma. So too, a ein hayavam ma'achil ba. The yavam likewise will not entitle her to eat from truma. Meisvei. We raise a Tanaic source again. It's actually the same source as we saw before in the first lashon. You might have noticed the bow tie marking, and that's what it is designed to do, to show that the same source that was used to ask on Shmuel in the first lashon, the Roman numeral number 1, we see here as well. So it says, Bas Yisrael pikchis shenis arsa l'koyin pikeach v'lo hispik l'koyin so'ad shenis charesh eino oicheles. The couple entered Erusin when they were both healthy. However, the Nisuin, which is, we'll say, the clincher for Truma eating purposes, well, that took place in where he had already taken ill. He became a Cheresh. So she's not entitled to eat from Truma. Meis v'nofla lifnei yavam Cheresh. If the Cheresh husband died and she became a Yavama to a brother-in-law who's also a Cheresh, Oicheles, she eats from Truma. Ubezu yofe koyach yavam mikoyach baal. Here, the Yavam is enabling her to eat when the Baal did not enable her to eat. Now, that last statement is what, technically speaking, is difficult for even for Rav, because in the this Lashon number 2, Rav acknowledged that if the Baal did not enable her to eat, the Yavam would not enable her to eat. And here we're saying a Baal did not enable her to eat, and the Yavam does enable her to eat. And yet the Gemara says, Bishlamo l'Rav. This source is not a problem for Rav. Mitaretz kidetoretz meikora. Because what Rav can do is can reread this source as Shmuel had done in the first Lashon. That's where you notice the second frame on the page where the Gemara said, Ei Mahachi, what did we see over there? We saw there that the husband had actually first done the Nisuin, was Kines, and then took ill. And under those circumstances, so we say that the Cheresh is, the Yavam Cheresh is also enabling her to eat from Truma. So what Rav will do with this source is what we saw Shmuel doing in the first Lashon, and with that in mind, the Yavam is not on a higher level than the original husband by way of eating powers, but rather on the same level where the original husband enabled her to eat Truma. The Yavam continues that which she was doing earlier. So that's as far as Rav is concerned. The source doesn't pose a problem. Ela l'Shmuel kasha. But according to Shmuel, there's no way out. Meaning Shmuel in the second Lashon said that even if the husband was enabling her to eat Truma, the Yavam, of course, with a Bia Grua, and here we're talking about the Bia of a Yavam Cheresh in this source, it's also a Bia Grua, does enable her to eat. So just to go over that point again, according to Shmuel, even though she was eating Truma by her husband, if there is a Yavam Bia Grua that takes place, she is not entitled to eat. Here we have a case of her eating by her husband, and then the Yavam Cheresh, which constitutes a Bia Grua, she is able to eat. So, Ela L'Shmuel Kasha. So, Gemara says, Kasha, this is left as a difficulty. It doesn't necessarily present a refutation of Shmuel, but it presents a difficulty. Before we continue with the next section of Gemara, we glance at the side. where we have a nosei, mivneh, heading, topic heading, and structural note combined into one. You notice a crown shape. This represents deos, lahasbir, opinions to explain machlikis, Rav Nosson, v'rabbonon, the controversy between Rav Nosson and Rabbonon in a source that we'll see shortly. Be'inyan kayen pikeach, shesares in bas Yisrael pikchis. Similar to what we saw in the previous discussion, a healthy Kohen marrying or reaching Erusin with a Bas Yisrael was also normal. Pikchis is normal. But he didn't consummate the marriage while still healthy. He first became a Cheresh. Ma dino legabi achilas truma. What is the law regarding her eating of truma? It should be obvious that this discussion is not Yovam related, but it certainly fits into the scheme of the previous sugya by way of eating of truma. The squiggle underline will appear in the Gemara as Hadgoshas Abaye. We'll be emphasizing Abaye's name with this marking, Shemaskif as Shneha as Beirim B'malach HaGemara. He will be the one questioning the explanations given by the Gemara. So once again, we have a Machlokes Rav Nosson and Chachamim. What is the Hesber of that Machlokes? And Abaye attacking the Hesber, as we will see. The Gemara. Tana Rabbanan. Bas Yisrael pikris shenis arsa l'kayin pikeach. Two healthy people, male, female, enter Erusin in a state of pikhus. He happens to be a kohen. A kohen would eventually enable his wife to eat from truma. V'lo hispik l'kainsa ad shenis charesh. But he became a cheresh before the knisa. So eina ocheles. She does not get to eat from truma. Nolad lo ben ocheles. If she bears a child with the kohen, so in the merit of the child, the mother is entitled to eat from truma. Meis haben. Now then the child dies. The mother surviving her son. Rabbi Nosson Omer ocheles. V'chachomim Omerim eino ocheles. My time of the Rabbi Nosson. What is the reason behind Rabbi Nosson, who says that even though the son, which seemed to be the vehicle through which he was able to eat the truma, he disappears, he dies, she continues eating. Omar Rabbo, so Rabbo tells us, Hayu Shikvar Ochla, simply based on this type of logic that since she was eating, she continues eating. Omar Le Abai Abai has a question, and notice it lasts a couple of lines. He says, well, using your logic of Shekvar Ochla, Elo Me'ata, Bas Yisrael, Sheniseis L'Kayin, U'misle. A Bas Yisrael is a woman who is a Yisraeli. She comes from a non-Kohen family. She married a Kohen, and the husband, Kohen, the Kohen, dies. Teichol. Do you think she continues eating from Truma? She comes from a non-Kohen family. She's now a widow. Her husband, the Kohen, died. Do you think she continues eating Truma? Techol Shekvar Ochla, based on this logic that she, well, since she had been eating, she continues eating. Elo Kevon de Misle, Poka Le, Kedushose Mina. Since he died, so the Kohen sanctity that she had departs. It expires. Acha nami. So too over here, kevon de misle, the son dies. Paka kedushase mina. Whatever kahuna sanctity that she had through her son expires. So how can Rabbi Nosson say she continues eating based on what Rabbo says since she had been eating? We see that svara of shikvar ochla doesn't hold water. Elo Omar Rav Yosef Kosovar Rabbi Nosson Nisue Cheresh Ma'achilin Betruma. This is a rather abbreviated comment, but we have to add that since the Kiddushin, since the initial marriage was done by two healthy people, And on a Torah level, and this is a new point we did not mention before, we have been mentioning from the beginning of today's shiur that that in Erusin, a woman does not eat from Truma, if, even though her husband-to-be is a Kohen. She, from Erusin, she doesn't eat from Truma, she waits till Nisuin. And now we'll introduce the new point that that din is only Derabbanan, because Mido Raisa, from the Torah standpoint, the Pasuk says, V'kohen ki yikne nefesh kinyin kaspu yochabo, that when a Kohen acquires, and Erusin constitutes acquisition, he marries a woman, they create a marital bond that way, technically speaking, she is, from that initial point, allowed to eat from Truma. The Rabbanan ruled that since she's still in her father's house, who's a non-Kohen, she might, if she's going to receive Truma parcels, she might share them with her family members, and they're not entitled to it. So, rabbinically, a woman from Erusin is deprived, is blocked from eating the Truma. Even though, again, from the Torah, she would be allowed to. So Rav Nosson figures like this. A nisuei cheresh. Nisuin, she means she enters the house of her husband. It's true he's become a cheresh beforehand. But that doesn't prevent her eating of truma, because on the Torah level, she was entitled to eat anyway while she, from the point of kiddushin, of erusin. And the Gemara goes on, Rabbi Yosef goes on to say, V'lo gazrinon, we don't impose a gezeira, a rabbinic restriction, nisuei cheresh otu kiddushei cheresh. Now, a kiddushei cheresh, that type of kiddushin is not recognized as a Torah-level marital bond. And a kiddushin of a cheresh would not enable her to eat from Truma, even though the Cheresh might have been a Kohen, that wouldn't have enabled her to eat from Truma. That having been said, in our case, he was a Pikeach at the time of Kiddushin. So on the Torah level, the Truma ball started rolling. She enters Nisuin. It's true he's a Cheresh, but from the Torah perspective, she's allowed to eat from Truma anyway. Plus, she's not by her family anymore. She's Nisuin. She's entered the home of the husband, who is a Kohen, who himself, of course, is allowed to eat from Truma. So she is now able to eat from Truma. There's no reason to make a gzera, claims Rav Yosef. The Gemara continues. Omar le Abaye, I hachi, if this is the explanation of Rabbi Nosson, nolad lo ben lomali. Notice the little star to the side of the Gemara text. You can just align this with the star above. The Gemara, in the Tanaic source we opened this section of Gemara up with, there was reference to her non-eating of Truma, and then a son was born and she was able to eat from Truma. What does the birth of the son have to do with anything? As far as Rabbi Nosson is concerned, the Nisuei Cheresh enabled her to eat from the Truma. Why does, according to Rabbi Nosson, why is there any need to have the birth of a son for her to be able to eat from the Truma? The Gemara says, you're right. Mishum Rabbonon. The source inserted this idea of her having a son enabling her through him to eat from Truma. That was because of the Shita of the Rabbonon. The Rabbonon who held that the Nisuei Cheresh does not entitle her to eat from Truma, but with the birth of the son, she can eat from the Truma. The Gemara asks, for Lifloig Rabbi Nosson Alayhu Bereisha, why didn't Rabbi Nosson state his opinion earlier? Namely, at the point in the source where it had said Lo hispik l'koin so'achin ischaresh, so Rabbi Nosson should have said at that point, O Cheles. What's the structure of the source seems to be seems to be inconsistent. It's lacking balance or lacking flow. The Gemara answers, true, Rabbi Nosson could have said his point earlier, however, Shavik lehu l'rabbonon ademisaimi milsaihu. Rabbi Nosson remained silent. He let them finish off their point. V'hadar polagalayo, and then he entered with his argument, his alternative opinion, his differing opinion. So now, the structure is beginning to unfold that Rabbi Nosson didn't enter his argument or his disagreement until later in the discussion. Well, if that's the case, there still remains something uncomfortable about the structure of that source. If Rav Nosson is really waiting till the Rabbanan finish their points, so Lisni, the source, should have read as follows: Meis Haben Eina Oifeles. That's the Shita of the Rabbanan. Rabbi Nosson Omer Oifeles. Rabbi Nosson should have appeared at the end. And yet Rabbi Nosson, in the case of Meis Haben, he wasn't waiting for the Rabbanan to finish everything they had to say. He appears before the Rabbanan's opinion there. So how can you explain the structure of the source by claiming that Rabbi Nosson was waiting for the Rabbanan to finish their point? Now, we take a look at Rashi at the bottom, second line from the bottom. If Rabbi Nosson is really waiting for the Rabbanan to finish their point of view, listening Meis Haben Eino Ocheles, Rabbi Nosson Omer Ocheles, Teteve Kula Milsa de Rabbanan Kechada, so that the entire position of the Rabbanan would be presented in one unit, V'Hodar Liflog Rabbi Nosson Akula, and then Rabbi Nosson should have come in with his argument, with his point of view, disagreeing with the Rabbanan on all points, namely as far as lo hispik l'koin sachin is chayr she'ino ocheles. Rabbi Nosson would have been able to say yes, she is ocheles, and the case of nolad lo ben and then meis haben, she would be able to eat as well. Avol hashta leko lemeimar denotar luhu Asimo. But now the way things are structured, as we pointed out, Rabbi Nosson appearing before the Rabbanan, we can't say that Rabbi Nosson is waiting till they finish their opinion. Uvemeis haben luchuda polik. And now, this is the main point. That's why we learned the Rashi. It turns out that Rabbi Nosson really argues only in the case of Meis Haben. However, as far as lo hispik l'koin sa'ashin is charesh, as far as that is concerned, apparently Rav Nosson agrees that if the nisuin took place after he had become a charesh, so Rav Nosson agrees eino ocheles. It would seem that the svara for that is, just like we said earlier within the Rabbanan, that when you have the Nisuin taking place with a man that has already become a Cheresh, the Rabbanan tell us Eino Ocheles, because they would make a Gzeira of Nisue Cheresh Otu Kidushe Cheresh. And Rabbi Nosson, unlike Rav Yosef's claim, Rabbi Nosson would agree with that Gzeira. We continue now in the Gemara. V'chein habo al achas mikol ha'aroyas. The Mishnah had mentioned that not only with regard to Yavam and Yavama do we say that the less than complete type of intimacy clinches the Yibum Yavama relationship, but the same halacha will apply regarding all kinds of intimacies that are of a forbidden nature, where the violation will take place even if it's a type of intimacy other than, we'll say, the complete, full intention act. Omar Rav Amram, Ha Milsa, Omar Lon Rav Sheshes. The following Rav Sheshes says, V'anharinu la'ainin mimasnisen, and he enlightens our eyes. In other words, he bases what he is about to say on a Tanaic source. Now, it's a beautiful expression. He enlightens our eyes. It might be noteworthy that Rav Sheshes himself was a blind individual, so that this expression takes on and we'll say an added dimension. What does Rav Sheshes teach us? Aishas, and do note, by the way, that this is a long point. Aishas Yisrael Shenensa, a woman married to a non-Kohen, a married woman who was raped by some other man. Aval Pishu Muteres Labayli, even though she is allowed to go back and live with her husband as husband and wife, by the way, in contrast to a woman married to a Kohen who is raped, she becomes forbidden to her husband, the Kohen. Here we're not talking about an Aishas Kohen, we're talking about a woman who is married to a Yisrael, and she happened to be raped. Afal Pishu Muteres Labayli, even though she's also to her husband, Psula Lekuna. When that husband dies, if that husband eventually dies, she can no longer marry a Kohen. Vitana Tuna, and from the Tanaic source that we saw back on Daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis, we see this point. And it says, this is a quote from the Mishnah, V'chein habo al achas mikol ha'aroyos ha'amuros b'toyro obsulos pasla. Just like we saw by the Yavam Yavama, all kinds of examples of let's say incomplete acts of intimacy. The same applies to all the arayas and psulos, and eventually the Mishnah says the woman is then pasla, disqualified. Before we can go further in the Gemara, we must take note of the structure. On the side, we have a nosei mivne heading. Triangles will appear immediately. These are nisyonis lahabzbir ma bo dine bia biyavama lelamed bedine bia b'shara rayas upsulos. The Mishnah had featured the laws of intimacy between Yavam and Yavama, and then from Yavam Yavama we're going to carry over the standard set by Yavam Yavama to other areas. That's the V'chein Haba, namely, just like Yibum, so too by other areas. So the triangle will highlight, and as you go down the Gemara you can see the number of attempts. What is it? What point about Yibum are we using to teach, to shed light on other areas? So now our Gemara continues. My V'chein. What does the V'chein in this source indicate? My lav. Is it not so that lo shna b'shoigeg, v'lo shna b'mezid, v'lo shna b'oines, v'lo shna b'rotzon? Those are points that we found by the Yavama. That a Yavam that has intimacy with the Yavama, no matter if it's shogeg, mezid, and we explain unintentional, and mezid meant with znus intentions, lo shna b'oines, and that we dashed underline here, that's the main thing for right now. It doesn't matter if it was oines, it was something beyond control, and lo shna b'rotzon. That consummates the Yavam marriage, and the Mishnah went on to say same thing with regard to other areas where laws of intimacy are applicable. V'katani pasla, and it says that she becomes disqualified. So what are we talking about? We're talking about arayas right now. What's arayas? Forbidden relations, women that are forbidden, a married woman. is an Isur, is a forbidden woman to have intimacy with, married of course with intimacy with another man. And what does it describe? What does the Mishnah say? The Mishnah says that whether it's shogeg mezid or even if it's oinus, it's a rape. Pasla, she becomes disqualified. What does that mean? Disqualified? Disqualified from what? She's allowed to be with her husband. Disqualified means disqualified from the kahuna. This is exactly what Rav Sheshet said before, that a woman married to a Yisrael, and she's subjected to a forbidden act of intimacy against her will, bainus. True, she's allowed to be with her husband, the Yisrael, the non-Kohen. However, she becomes posla, disqualified from the kuna. So what that which Rav Sheshet said, you can see, is alluded to in the Mishnah. That's what Rav Sheshet, that's what the Gemara Sivai, Areninu, La'inin Mimasi, he enlightened us, in us his teaching was based on that which was found in the Mishnah. The Gemara says, lo, that's not the way to learn things. My v'chein, when the Mishnah is paralleling the laws of Yibum to the laws of other areas of intimacy, it's ah-he-ra-ra-ah. It's talking about partial insertion, partial male organ insertion, a topic we spent quite a bit of time in recent Shurim talking about, and it's just, it is learned from Yibum, that just like the partial halal, the partial act of sexual intimacy is done with this partial male insertion, but berotzon, willingly. We have to emphasize that it's done willingly. So, two, this will have halachic ramifications with other arayas. Now, what does the posla mean? So, it very simply, if a woman who is forbidden with the man, and the man does he'ora with her, and they're willing partners, it's done berotzon, she becomes classified as a zoina in the Torah. The word zona has ramifications for kehanim. She becomes classified as a zona, and hence she is posla mina kahuna. Let's continue. He'ora deman, the he'ora of whom? Who do you have in mind? Is it like we just explained? Ilema d'arayas. If you're saying that it's the hara of arayas, meaning that we're going to learn the rules of hara with a forbidden woman from the laws of Yibum. Lameimra d'arayas yalfinon miyavama. Are you telling me then that the laws of arayas are in this realm regarding ha'ora are learned from the laws of Yibum? Adarabo, to the contrary, Yavama yalfinon me arayas. The laws or the concept of ha'ora by Yibum is derived from arayas, not that Yavama teaches me about arayas, but the other way around. Arayas teaches me about Yibum. The ikur ha'ora arayas ksiv, the main source for ha'ora, for partial connection as being considered full-fledged connection, is featured in the Torah in the realm of arayas, and it's from there that I derive information to Yibum. The structure of the Mishnah, though, describes something else, where something about Yibum is the source from which I will learn to arayas. So we have to come up with a new explanation. Ela my v'chein asheloi kedarka da'arayas. Namely, just like by Yibum we make no distinction whether it's kedarka or shelo kedarka, whether the male intimacy is conducted through the female orifice of reproduction or the other orifice that exists on her anatomy, that's shelo kedarka. So too, when it comes to arayas, the bio shelo kedarka will be treated as if it's bio kedarka. So what are we saying? We're saying that the laws of Yibum vis-a-vis Bia Shalo Kedaka are then the source for Bia Shalo Kedaka when it comes to usur relationships. The Gemara says that can't be the pshat. Adarabha. To the contrary, Iker Mishkeve Isha Barayas Ksiv. The Mishkeve Isha is a quote from the Pasuk. And it's from that expression we include Bia Shalo Kedaka. And that's in the realm of forbidden intimacies, not Yibum. So that to suggest that the laws of Bia Shalo Kedaka are learned from Yibum to Arayas, that cannot be. Elamai Vechein Asheloi Kedarka the Chayvei Lavin. Chayvei Lavin are forbidden relationships, but they're not called Arayas. An example of Chayvei Lavin would be a widow that has intimacy with a Kohen Gadol, or a divorcee that has intimacy with a Kohen, with a regular Kohen. In the case of Chayvei Lavin, the term Mishkevei Isha doesn't apply. That doesn't appear, that is. It appears by Arayas, not by Lavin. So, how am I going to learn that? Let us say a Kohen would do Bia Shalo Kedarka with a Grusha, that he would be subject to getting lashed. How will I know that Bia Shalo Kedarka by Chayvei Lavin is considered an offense? Well, that I will learn from the fact that Bia Shalo Kedarka is Koine by Yibum. So after all is said and done, we explain the Mishnah from Daf Nun Gimel Amid Beis, and the expression V'chein Abo Alachas Miklar Azimus Betor Psus, etc. And we apply that section as being information that we derive from Yibum concerning Bia Shalo Kedak with Chayve Lavin. And by the way, so what does Pusla mean? That would mean, let's take for example an almona that experienced Bia Shalo Kedak with a Kohen Gadol. At that point, she would be considered pasla, that would ruin her from the kahuna. We continue now in the Gemara. We have a nosei, a topic heading combined with a mivne, a structural note. The diamond highlights Shnei Lishonos Shel Rabba, two versions of Rabba. Bedin Kohen Shebo Al Ishtoi Acharei Shenansa. Now, we mentioned before that a Kohen whose wife is raped cannot continue living with her as husband and wife. She's forbidden. He has to divorce her. It's a tragedy, a human tragedy, if such a thing happens, but that is what the Torah expects. That's the Torah's requirement. Let's say the Kohen continues living with his wife after she was raped. So, version 1, Lashon 1, Loike Mishum Zoyna. He deserves Malkus because of having what's considered relationship with a woman that's now classified as a Zona. Now, some people might be partially familiar with the modern Hebrew and the term Zona, and its alternative meaning, but I don't want to dwell on that. I don't even want to mention it because it can serve to confuse us. The term Zona in most cases is a reference to a very specific category of halacha where a woman, because of a type of forbidden intimacy, she becomes disqualified from marrying Kohanim. The second Lashon talks about the Kohen who has relations with his wife after she was raped, and there's Malkus, there's lashing because of something called Tum'ah. And that term, Tum'ah, is found in the Pasuk, Acharei Asher Hu Tam'ah. We will also note structurally a trapezoid shape. This is designed Havlotas. It's to highlight Rabbi Zera. Shemaskif es Rabba b'shnei alishonos. He will be attacking rabble in both Lashons, both versions. You can see that by scanning ahead of the Gemara. In Lashon 1, Rabba says his point and Rabbi Zera attacks. And same thing after Rabba says his point in Lashon number 2, Rabbi Zera attacks. And he will do so Basha'ela Shenire the Isur Aishas Kain Shinensa Have Lahabo Michlala Se Davi Ase Vein Loikin. The nature of Rabbi Zera's question is that it's true that a Kohen is forbidden to be with his wife after she was raped. But how can you talk about the Kohen getting lashes if he is with her? The Isur is a negative command that's derived from a positive command. And we'll see that in the Gemara. We haven't cited the sources yet. But based on an inference from a positive command, I derive that a Kohen whose wife is raped, he cannot, the husband Kohen cannot be with her. That is called a lav habo michlal asay, and that's classified in halachic terms as an asay, as a positive command. Even though when describing the prohibition, we describe it in negative terms, that the Kohen is not to be with his wife, but nevertheless, the root of that halacha is from an inference drawn from a positive command, or language stated in the positive as opposed to negative, and inferences drawn from the positive that result in the negative nevertheless have the status of a mitzvah asay. And for mitzvah asay, for positive commands that are violated, there is no lashing. So now we continue with the Gemara itself. Omar Rabba, Aishas Kohen Shenensa, a wife of a Kohen that was raped, and through that she becomes forbidden to her husband. Baila loike aleo mishum zoina. If the husband has relations with her, he will be considered deserving of lashes for the intimacy with his wife, based on her being classified as a zona. And the pasuk says, zona lo ikachu. We will gain by looking at Rashi. Baila loikila lo mishum zona. Rashi is just a line or two down from here. Dichtiv, the pasuk says, zona lo ikachu. Ustam zona, the basic understanding of the word zona, hainu mina efes tachas baila. It's a woman that conducts herself in immoral ways and intimacy with other men while still married. Shetasa me'achar baila lezorim. The word zona is Rashi's explaining. I believe he's giving you the etymology that it has to do with she errs from under her husband, errant ways, going to others, to strangers, zorim. Vazu, afal pishenensa, here in the case of the Aishas Kohen, even though she's not errant, she was raped, it was beyond her control. Gabi Kohen lo polig rachmona bein oynes bein rotzon. The Torah, when it comes to Kohanim, does not make a distinction between that which was oynes, that which was a rape, versus that which was willing. Kidegamrinon mi vihi loynes basa. The pasuk that will be cited in the Gemara, in other words, that the Gemara is working with and will be cited in the Gemara, is that a woman becomes also to her husband when she was not grabbed, she was not raped. The he is the word he, she, is mi'uta, is a limitation, mashma. He is Aishas Yisrael, that when it comes to a wife of a non-Kohen, Aishas Yisrael, a czar, who the Eishchilik bein nisposa lo nisposa. Then we make a distinction between rape versus non-rape. The Torah tells us that if she was not raped, she becomes also to her husband, indicating that if she was raped, she's not also to her husband. But when is that distinction made? Only with regard to the wife of a non-Kohen, a Yisrael. Aval Eishas Kohen ein chiluk. But when it comes to the wife of a Kohen, we don't make that distinction. So now we go back to the Gemara. The Gemara asks, Mishum Zoyna in Mishum Tumalo, is there lashing only because of that particular violation and not because of another violation that we call Tuma? And Rashi gives us the background for that as well. there's a pasuk that says acharei asher hu tama, from which we are marbe a sota, a married woman that was a participant in intimacy with another man. And it says there, lo yuchal baila, that her husband cannot be with her. So in the context of tuma, you find a lav, a negative command, lo yuchal baila. This information, of course, you can find in the Rashi. So we continue in the Gemara. Amal, so as a result of the Gemara's question, we say af mishum zoina, that when Rabba said his din that eshes kashen ensa baila loika mishum zoina, means even mishum zoina, not only malchus because of tuma is defilement, but also because of zoina. Mosiv Rabbi Zera, notice the question lasts a couple of lines. The Rabbi Zera raises a question from the pasuk, which says v'hi loy nisposa, if a married woman was not grabbed but rather willingly participated in intimacy with another man, asura, then she is asur. Ha nisposa, from that we infer muteres. If a woman married to a Yisrael is raped, she's a muteris, she's allowed to be with her husband afterwards. The yesh lecha acheres, there's another woman, she'af alpi she'nisposa asura, that even if she happened to be raped, she would be usher to her husband. Ve'zo, and what is that? Who is she? Zu eshes kohen. That's the case of a wife of a kohen. The lav habo michal asay equals asay. A negative that's derived through an inference from a positive has the status of a positive. And as we explained earlier, there are no malkos, there are no lashings that accompany one who violates a positive command, something that has the status of a positive command. So how can we explain Rabbo's position of malchus when it would seem that there should be no malchus in the case of the husband who cohabits with his wife that happened to have been raped? Omar Rabbo. So Rabbo explains. You have to go back to the very beginning, so to speak, of this topic. Hakol hoyu bichlal zoina. We'll say all women that are, partners in intimacy while married. They're partners in intimacy with another man while married to their husbands. All women, regardless of intent or lack of intent or rape or whatever, all women are considered zona. And now zona is a lav. Zona lo yikochu. That's a lav that applies to kohanim. So whenever you have a case of a woman that is married and she has intimacy with another man, she automatically is labeled a zona. When the Torah specifies with regard to wives of non-kohanim, it says v'hi loy nisposa, if she was willing, asura. Ha nisposa muteres, but if she was raped, she's muteres. Michlal di eshes kohen kide kaima kaima. We infer from that the wife of a kohen, she remains as the original intent was, namely that there is a lav, there is a negative command of zona lo yikochu, even if it happened to be a case of oines. So the point is that what Rabbo said can be justified. I don't know if it's easily justified, but as far as Rabbi Zera is concerned, he had a problem with this, but the Gemara feels we can justify Rabbo by pointing out that the halacha of an eshes kohen shenenso being usher to her husband is not a function of a lav habo michlal asay, but rather it reflects the original isur of zona, And that original Easter of Zona naturally is a loisas, is a negative command, and hence malchus when it's violated. The Ikar Diamri, Omar Rabba, another version of Rabba, Eishes Kohen Shinensa, Baila Loike Oleo Mishum Tuma. The wife of a Kohen who was raped, and if the husband continues being with her in intimacy, he deserves lashing for violating Tuma. The Gemara asks, or the Gemara points out, not as a question, but Benichusa, Mishum Tuma in, Mishum Zoino Lo. That the only offense this Kohen is violating by being with his wife after she was raped is the violation of Tuma, but she's not considered a Zona. Alma, we see from this, Be'oines Lo Karina Be Zona. That it's true that the wife becomes also to her husband, but she doesn't gain that label, the label of being a zona. Mosiv Rabbi Zera, v'hi lo nisposa asura, ha nisposa muteres. This, of course, is the same source as we saw above. The Torah describes a woman that was not grabbed, a woman that was not raped, a married woman that was a willing partner in intimacy with another man. She's usher to her husband. Han is falsa muteras. However, if she was grabbed, if she was raped, she's muteras to her husband. And as we said before, the word vihi is a limitation expression, that this distinction is limited to one type of woman. There's another category, that even if she was raped, she's also to her husband. And who is that? This is the wife of a Kohen, where we will make no distinction. And a negative that's derived from inference from a positive has the status of a positive. In effect, we are saying that by the Eishes Yisrael, she is allowed to be with her husband. That's the positive. And we are inferring there's another woman, the Eishes Kohen, she cannot be with her husband. That's the negative. But as we said already several times, a lav habo michlala, say a negative that's derived from a positive, is an asay. Why then is there malkos? Omar Rabba, Hakol Hoyu Bichlal Acharei Asher Hu Tam'o. Now, the Pasuk of Acharei Asher Hu Tam'o, there is a negative command, Lo Yuchal Baila, as Rashi quoted. So there's a lav over here. And as we saw explained earlier in the context of Zona, here we're using this Svara in the context of Tum'o, that all women, all married women, who were partners in intimacy with another man are considered tum'ah, tumeos. Kishepar l'cha kosov gabi eishis Yisrael v'hi loy nisposa asura ha nisposa muteres. When the Torah points out that the wife of a Yisrael, if she was not raped, she's forbidden, but if she was raped, she is allowed to her husband. Michlal, the Eishes Kohen kidekaimo kaimo. The Eishes Kohen remains in the original spirit of things, where all women, even raped women, who happened raped married women, are tuma. So she remains with that negative command associated with her, and therefore the husband of a Kohen who is married to a woman who happened to be raped, and if he has relations with her, he is guilty of the original Avera of Lo Yuchabayla, a straightforward negative command. If you want to say it in simpler terms, the exception to the rule is actually the Eishes Yisrael case, whereas the Kohen reflects the original negative command. And that's why there's Malkus. The Mishnah. Almona l'kayin gadol, grusha v'chalutza l'kayin hedyot, min ha'erusin, if they happen to be in a state of erusin, let us take, for example, an almona who's the daughter of a Yisrael. She's a widow, and she entered erusin with a kohen gadol. So even though that's considered an acquisition, there's tfisas kiddushin, that's kinyan kaspoi, she is not allowed to eat from truma. So you have these forbidden relations, an almona l'kohen gadol. She entered erusin with a kohen gadol, or a grush of a chalutza that entered erusin with a kohen hedyot. She does not eat from truma. Rabbi Lozov, Rabbi Shimon, Machshirin. They say she can. Now, we have stated in the past that these are forbidden relations. So one thing is for sure: if an almona with a kohen gadol or a grusha or a chalutza have intimacy with the kohanim, that will make her into a chalola, a woman who is strictly forbidden to participate, to partake of truma. But here we haven't reached any intimacy. We're talking about the initial erusin, where money is given to her to the widow by a kohen gadol, or money is given by a kohen hedyot to a grusha. The Tanakhama says she cannot eat from truma, and Rebbe Lozer and Shimon say she is allowed to eat from truma because she is kinyan kaspo, and we cited this in our shir earlier today. Kinyan kaspo hu yochal bo. When a kohen acquires a wife, he marries a wife without speaking about intimacy, she is entitled on a Torah level to eat from truma. Nisarmala oy nisgarsha. If she becomes an almona or divorced from these kohanim, min hanisuin psulos. If they had reached nisuin, that means intimacy had taken place, or possibly chuppah had taken place. That's going to be pointed out later in the Gemara. But they reached the second stage of marriage, meaning nisuin. She becomes a halola through intimacy with them. So psulos, they become unfit. Mino erusin, if they become an almona or nizgarsha from erusin, ksheros. Let us take a look at Rashi. First, we're going to look at Rashi at the end of the Mishnah commentary. It says mino erusin ksheros. Dafilu Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir, who appeared at the early part of the Mishnah, the Tanakhama of the Mishnah, his name didn't appear explicitly, but he's understood to be the Tanakhama. Lo posil mino erusin ela b'chayehen. When Rabbi Meir says that an almona that was nisarsa to kain gadol, or a grusha that was nisarsa to kain hedyo, he says that they cannot eat from truma. That's only when those men are alive. De mishtameres lebia psula. They are waiting for intimacy that is unlawful. Avol mesulo, but if the husbands died, so they're no longer waiting for a bia psula. And therefore, the Mishnah uses the term ksheros. Before going into the Gemara itself, very often it's helpful to see points that Rashi brings out that help for getting a clearer picture of the issue at hand. What I'd like to do is look at Rashi and the wide lines under the Gemara text. You'll notice the third of the widest lines, Loshan Acher Vehu Iker. This is an alternative explanation to what he started off with above. And with the Mark Dimars, you can see how we've separated the first presentation of Rashi from what we see now. Rashi says, Almona l'kein gono grusho chutz l'kein hedyo mino erusin lo yochol b'truma bein bebas kohen bein bebas Yisrael komairi. Whether you're talking about a woman that is the daughter of a kohen or the daughter of a non-kohen, The Bas Kohen Kedeprishis. With regard to a Bas Kohen, the focus is on the truma that she was eating before she got married, the truma of her father's house. The Bas Yisrael, Valiba de Mishnah Rishona, the Mabuksuba Sigiyas Man Velo Nisu, Ochlos Mishalov, Ochlos Betruma. The Mishnah in Ksubas, the Mishnah Rishona, that's the first and earlier Mishnah, says that if the time allotted after Nisuin, after Erusin, before Nisuin, which the Mishnah speaks about a 12-month period for Basulos or 30 days for Almonas, if that time lapsed and they didn't enter Nisuin with their husbands, they nevertheless are fed from their husbands. Ochos Mishalov, Ochos Betruma. The Kama Rabbi Meir, Almona l'kayin gadol, afal pi de kiddushav kiddushin v'kinyan kaspohi. Rabbi Meir, as we pointed out before, says that even though the marriage is a binding marriage, lo yisoychal betruma k'shara rusos l'kayin she'ochos minatora, she is not entitled to eat from truma, as opposed to other arusos that are entitled to eat from Torah law. My taima, why is she restricted? The mishtameres lebios avera, because erusin with a kohen gadol, the erusin of an almona with a kohen gadol, she's basically waiting for the consummation of her marriage through bia, which would be of the bia of an avera, forbidden bia. By the way, as we said before, if that bia actually takes place, she becomes strictly forbidden eating shum because she becomes a chalola. For Belozer, Rabbi Shimon, Machshirin, they allow her the Arusa, the Amona Arusa to Kohen Gadol, or Grusha Arusa to Kohen Hedyot, they allow the eating of Truma. To Kinyan Kaspohi, the Imishum Chalala, and if you'll say, well, how can that be? But is she not a Chalala? A Chalala is a woman who has become unfit to the Kahuna. Hare Kolzman Shilobole Lonis Chalala. As long as intimacy has not taken place, she does not become a Chalala. Let's continue with Rashi. Nisarmalu oy nisgarshu mina koyhanim halolu mino erisin. If they departed from these koyhanim, either because they died or they were divorced, but they had only reached an erisin state, ksheros linose lekoyhanim in nisalmanu. Of course, only with regard to Lamona we can say that she would become she would be muteris to marry other koyhanim. Not so with a woman who was a divorcee. V'gabi grusha, with regard to the divorcee, im bas kohen hikshera l'truma, she can go back to eating truma from her father's house. Min ha'nisuin psula, the shavua chalola. If, however, they reached nisuin, that made them into a chalola. Now we turn back to the Gemara. Tanya, Omar Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir had argued with the Tanakama in the case of Erusin of Almona to Kohen Gadol or Grusho Chutzah to Kohen Hedyot. Rabbi Meir says they cannot eat from Truma, that husband, Kohen, will not entitle the wife to eat from Truma. And Rabbi Meir says, Kal v'chomer logic. Uma kedushe rishus ein machilin, a Yisrael that does kiddushin with a bas Yisrael. That's kedushe rishus. That's a permitted kiddushin. Yet they don't enable her to eat. Kedushe avera lo kol shekein, where the kiddushin is under sinful circumstances, all the more so. Omru lo lo. So Rabbi Elezer and Rabbi Yeshua, that is Rabbi Elezer and Rabbi Shimon, say back, no. If you say in the case of a Yisrael with a Bas Yisrael that she came ain lo la'achil b'mokom achir, a Yisrael can't ever give his wife truma, even with nisuin. Toimar b'kiddushi avera she came yesh lo la'achil b'mokom achir. It's true in this case there's a kiddush avera, but the same man, the kohen or the kohen gadol, in a permitted type marriage, he would eventually be able to grant truma rights to his wife. So that even though there's an element of avera, but you're dealing with a type of person, a man that has potential truma enabling rights. Before we continue in the Gemara, we have a topic heading to Nosei. It's Pitzua Daka Kayen Shekidesh Bas Yisrael. Just a word about Pitzua Daka. This is a man whose organ of reproduction has been damaged. Pitzua Daka, that the Torah actually enumerates a few cases involving the organ of reproduction of a man, but for our purposes, he is rendered unfit to marry, we'll say, rank and file Jewish women. There are types of women that he's allowed to marry, but he's considered posel lakol. Now, if we have a Ptsua Daka Kohen that does Kiddushin with a Bas Yisrael, Kiddushin, it's not intimacy, it's the first stage of marriage, and he himself is a Kohen. As such, he eats Truma. But now he's marrying, first stage, a Bas Yisrael. Does he enable her to eat from Truma? You'll notice we have a Mivneh structural note where house shapes will appear, and we call this a Ma'akav. The house facing up will be to make a point. The inverted house represents a Dechiyah, a rejection of that particular point. So now the Gemara, Tanya. Let's say Omer Rabbi Elazar. We're starting with the house marking. Omer Rabbi Elazar, Omer Rabbi Hoshaya. Pitzua Daka Kain Shekidesh Bas Yisrael. The Pitzua Daka Kain, again, we emphasize, he is someone that is not allowed to marry into the, we'll call the general Jewish community. And he does Kiddushin with a Bas Yisrael. Bonu the Machlekes Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. We are at the foot of the controversy between Rabbi Meir on the one hand versus Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon on the other. The Rabbi Meir, the Amar Mishtameres, the Biabsu Deraisa Lo Achla. According to Rabbi Meir, a woman who is waiting means she's done Erusin or she's done Kiddushin and she's waiting for the consummation of the marriage. And if she's waiting for a Biopsula Doraisa, for an intimacy that would be usher on Torah grounds, Loi Ochla, Ha Nami Lo Ochla, where the woman is waiting for her Ptsua Daka husband, she is not entitled to eat. The Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, Damri Mishtameres, Lebi Apsula Daraisa Ochla. According to Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, that said that even though she eventually become unfit, but right now she hasn't had intimacy yet, she's simply waiting for the Bi Apsula, she is entitled to eat from Truma. So we continue at the top of Nun Zayin, Omer Aleph, Ha Nami Ochla. So too, Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon will say that the Tzua Daka Kayin enables the Bas Yisrael that he did Kiddushin with, he did Erusin with, she can eat Truma. Mimai, and here the Gemara rejects the analogy. Dilma, it could be, Ad Kan, Lo Ko Amri, Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, Hosam, could be that Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, they said what they did over there by the Kohen Gadol and the Almona, where they appeared in the Mishnah under that circumstance, Ella, they said what they did. They were lenient. The Kohen Gadol with the Almona, true with her, so eventually she won't be able to eat. But if he were to marry another woman, a woman appropriate for a Kohen Gadol, he has Truma granting rights there under other circumstances. That's B'mokam Acher. He has, under other circumstances, the power to give Truma. Aval Hocha, but with regard to a Ptsua Daka Kain, he's not allowed to marry anybody, any rank and file Jewess. Aval Hocha, the Ein Lo La'achil B'mokom Acher. There's no woman that's muteris to him. So, woman, regular Jewish woman that is muteris to him. So, Lo, he is not entitled, so that even Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Shimon, who in the Mishnah were lenient in the case, in this new case of Ptsua Daka Kain, they would agree that with the position that he cannot grant her truma eating rights. You might say, what do you mean that the psua daka doesn't have truma granting rights? There is a type of woman, and we hinted to this, that there are cases of women that he's allowed to marry, and one of those is a what's called a bas gerim, the daughter of converts. The case of a bas gerim is someone that he can marry, so he too is like the Kohen Gadol. You might say that that's not a point of distinction because he's Yochol Ahachil B'mokom Achir in this case. Moses says, but that's not so clear. V'ha mibaya boya lo Reb Yochanan me Rabo Shai v'lo poshit le. The names are worth noting. Reb Yochanan himself asks this question of Rabo Shaya. Rabbi Shaya, you notice we had dot underlined his name on the lower part of Nun Vav Amud Beis. That very same individual was asked the question of Psua Daka that marries a Bas Gerim, does he enable the Psua Daka Kain that marries a Bas Gerim, does he entitle her to eat from Truma? Velo Poshit Lei, and Rabbi Oshaya didn't answer him that that's allowed. So you can't say that the what we have in the inverted house marking is in fact you can't weaken that argument. And in simple terms, just because Rabbi Lozer and Rabbi Shimon are lenient or allowing in the case of the Amona L'Kohen Gadol, that's because Yesh Lo L'Achil B'Mokom Achir. But Psua Daka Kohen, he's not Machil B'Mokom Achir. As we go on in the Gemara, you notice the house marking appears again. And Rashi tells us that Abaye and Rava are coming to respond to the seeming rejection of the Gemara that we saw from the top of the Omid. In other words, the Psua Daka Kayin was presented up till now from the top of the Omid, was presented as someone that's Eino Machil B'Mokom Achir. Abaye and Rava are going to tell us that in truth he is Machil B'Mokom Achir. And once you say that he's machil b'mokom achir, we can say, like Rebbe Lozer said, that according to Rebbe Lozer and Rebbe Shimon, they would be allowed, the Psua Daka Kohen should be allowed to eat. As far as going further than saying according to Rebbe Lozer and Rebbe Shimon, that's something that one would have to justify. But on a simple level, Rebbe Lozer of Shimon, they weren't upset about the fact that she's mishtameres labia psula, so to overhear that would not bother them. If you'll say that, well, they may have been lenient by the Kohen Gadol because he was yochol, he was machil b'mokom achir. Truth is, psua daka is machil b'mokom achir, and let's see where that is. Itmar Abaye Omar Hoyil Umaachilo Beloy Yoda. Very terse, very necessary to look at Rashi. Rashi on the third, fourth narrow line, Hoyil Umaachilo Beloy Yoda, Hoyonosui Kayin Isha Vechaz Betruma. Regular, nice, healthy marriage between a Kayin and his wife. She was eating Truma, Venasip Tsuadaka, and unfortunately, he suffered an injury, making him into a Ptsua Daka. Ubo Aleha. And he then, after he became a Ptsua Daka, he continued having relations with her. Loi Soichal Betruma. She is not allowed to eat Truma. The Shavio Chalola. The Nivala Leposula. He rendered her unfit to the Kuna. she was not to be with him anymore. The word yada means intimacy. If he had not had intimacy with her, though he had become a tzuadaka, harezu ocheles, she is entitled to eat. Mishnah beperek Orel, it's Mishnah information from Perek later in this Masichta. Alma Matsinus, we have a precedent. Tzuadaka kain machil, the malka machil. Here you have it. The woman married to the kohen, who happens to right now be a tzuadaka, as long as he hasn't had intimacy with her from the injury onwards, she continues eating truma. Hilkoch bekidushe avera nami machil kolzman shelo aso halal aso to. In our case of the tzuadaka kohen shekidesh bas Yisrael, as long as they didn't have intimacy, she can eat from Shuma. And as we said, that is certainly in accordance with Reb Lozer and Reb Shimon. So now we, just to go back over the phrase in the Gemara, Abaye says, the Ptsuadaka is Machil B'moka Machir, Hoyu Machil B'lo Yada. B'lo Yada means without having had intimacy with her yet. After he was injured, before he continued intimacy with her, she continues eating in his merit. So he, the Ptsuadaka Kayin, is ma'achil there. Rava Omar, Hoyul u'ma'achila ba'avoda v'shivchos of haknanim. A ptsuadaka kayin that happened to acquire servants and bondmaids, non-Jewish servants, non-Jewish bondmaids, the Torah entitles them, because they're owned by a kayin, to eat from truma. So he's machil b'moka machil. There he is. He's machil them. So according to Rava, just like over there, he is machil. So too, the Ptsuadaka Kohen Shekidesh Bas Yisrael is able to machil the Bas Yisrael on the grounds that it's Kinyan Kaspo, and he hasn't had intimacy with her, rendering her unfit. So we have two explanations, Abaye and Rava, that justify the Ptsuadaka Kohen as being a machil the Bas Yisrael that he was Ma'aris, on the grounds that he's Machir B'moka Machir. Abaye lo Amar K'Rava. Abaye doesn't explain like Rava. Kinyan De'ishus, mi Kinyan De'ishus Yalfinon. We have a topic of marriage on hand, namely the opening statement of Rabbi Lozer at the bottom of Amud Beis involved the Ptsuadaka Kohen Shekidesh. Kidesh has to do with Ishus, with marriages. So matter of marriages we would like to derive from other matters that are related to marriage. And that was the case of Hoyol Umachila Belo Yoda. For Lo Yalfinon Kinyan the Ishus mi Kinyan the Avonim. But I'm not going to learn the situation of the Ptsuadaka Kohen Shekidesh from a case of someone who acquires slaves. It's apples and oranges. One is the realm of marriage, and the other is the realm of property. The Rava lo yomar k'Abaye. Rava did not learn like Abaye, as Abaye's choice of machil b'moka machir. Shaini hasam shekvar ochla. That's different, because in Abaye's case, you're dealing with a husband and wife that were together under normal, healthy circumstances. She was eating as his wife. So that's different than the case of a tzudaka, and it was Mekadesh Abbas Yisrael. The Bas Yisrael, she was a daughter of Israel. She wasn't eating from Truma. So you don't have a situation of Kvar Ochla over there. The Abaye, and Abaye's response to that, Shekvar Ochla Lo Amrinon. The Kvar Ochla consideration is not something that we rely on. The E Lo Tema Hochi, if you're not going to say like that, meaning if you're going to say that Shekvar Ochla is a Svara for someone to continue eating, Bas Yisrael Shenisis L'Kohen, a non-Kohenis, a daughter of a Yisrael family, a non-Kohen family, and she marries a Kohen, and the Kohen dies. Teichol Shekvar Ochla, would you think that she continues eating because she had been eating? Of course she stops eating when her husband dies. The Rava Rava's response to that argument is Hasam Poka Kinyone. There, with the death of the Kayin, the bond, the tie of them being tied together expires. She is totally released. She's a widow now. Hacha lo poka kinyone. But in the case of the Ptsua Daka, the Kayin that became a Ptsua Daka, it's still his wife. They're still considered a married couple. So you can't reject the concept of Shekvar Ochla but on the grounds of the situation of a Bas Yisrael that became a widow. Just to repeat, where the Bas Yisrael becomes a widow, there's no more bond to a Kohen, Poka Kinyone. The marital bond expired with his death. But in the case of the Psua Daka Kohen, that the Kohen that became a Psua Daka, the marital bond is not expired. It's true they can't continue living together and they have to get divorced, but in the meantime they're still married. And therefore, I maintain, says Rav, my position. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.